And look at how God has used the life of Peter from biblical times to this very morning where we're still talking about the life of Peter, right? And God wants to use us in that same way. But it was through those first steps of obedience from Peter that God was able to use his life the way he has, right? And God calls us to a life of obedience. You know, God calls us to be obedient in our reading. God calls us to be obedient in our prayer life. And God calls us to be obedient when we get that nudging and the prompting by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for taking time to worship with us. My name is Floyd Bland, and on behalf of all of us here, I would like to welcome you to Paso Robles Community Church. We are located in California's beautiful Central Coast in the pristine settings of Paso Robles. Love God, make friends, change the world. That's our motto here, and I feel that that is a call we strive to live out daily on a moment-by-moment basis as believers. So we pray that the time you share with us here in worship will empower you by God's Spirit and then enable you through His grace to do just that. Now, being that regular exercise is something that I scoff at, I can only attest to the benefits of exercise in theory, but what I am told is the more that one pushes, especially when it feels as though they've reached their limits, the body then becomes stronger. It becomes more capable of strenuous routines, and the fruits that bloom in such a way as to be clear and evident to those one comes into contact with. Now, again, I'm not sure, but that's what healthy folk tell me. You see, this healthy lifestyle also requires that one analyze what things in their life need to be set aside and changed, but also what positives are being overlooked or denied. See, our spirit requires the same attention. Our spiritual health and maturity require obedience to God, especially when things look bleak and uncertain. We should squat, if you will, into our prayer life, build stamina in the study of the Word, and we need to lift up the body and our Lord by sharing what He's done for us and also through fellowship. We also need to place full faith and trust in Christ, our quintessential trainer, with excellent references. Believe me, they're excellent. See, we should listen to His advice as He points out the hindrances that we need to put aside and the essentials we need to take on that we're denying to our own dis-ease. Well, today we continue our series, Love Like That, with the focus on the life of Peter as told in the book of Matthew. So turn there, if you will, and get ready. We want to see in his example, Peter's example, his example of obedience, complete faith and trust in Jesus, and his denials. We hope that this will bless, direct, and guide us all. And with that, let us tune our ears and hearts to today's message from our friend and brother, Marcus Rostro.
Come back in, take your seats. We've got a special treat today. You know, most of you know that Pastor Sean is in Corvallis, Oregon. And he is up there to perform a funeral and a memorial for a dear friend. And so he got up there safely, got through the sleet and the snow, slid around a little bit, but he made it. So why don't we go to prayer for just a moment. Father God, I just thank you that we're here together. I thank you that as brothers and sisters in Christ that we can look forward to the message we're about to receive that glorifies you, Father. I ask you to just be with Marcus, that he can deliver like Marcus can deliver, that he can bring the word. I know his passion, I know his heart, and I know how much he loves you, Lord. I know how much he wants to serve you and serve his family. Father, I just ask your blessing upon Marcus as he delivers, and I ask your blessing upon this congregation. You know, those might be not feeling great that or suffering with problems. I ask you to be merciful on this congregation and keep them well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's all yours, brother.
Right.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
As always, you know, it's a it's a blessing and a privilege to be able to get up here and share with you guys the areas of my life that God continues to grow me in, to be able to get up here and share with you guys the message that God has put in my heart. And, you know, so I was thinking about it, right, and I was thinking, you know, isn't it amazing how God speaks to us? You know, isn't it amazing how when we begin to seek God out and we begin to read his word and we begin to pray and we begin to ask God to search out our hearts and reveal to us the areas that we're struggling in, to reveal to us the areas that he calls us to surrender before him. You know, isn't it amazing how God begins to speak to us, right? And you know, God speaks to us through many different ways. You know, sometimes God speaks to us through his word. Sometimes God speaks to us through prayer, through worship, right, through sermons. And sometimes God speaks to us through the situations that we go through throughout our lives. And you know, this morning, before I get started, before I get into the word, I want to share a little situation with you guys that I went through recently where God spoke to me over an area of my life that I believe that I continue to struggle in, right? So, you know, not too long ago, an old friend of mine got in contact with me. And, you know, this individual, I hadn't heard from him in over 20-something years, right? You know, I got a text from him. And so, you know, as a matter of fact, the last time I remember having a conversation with this guy, last time I remember seeing him, you know, he had just been stabbed up. You know, we were growing, you know, we were raised in gangs. And due to gang violence, you know, he was stabbed multiple times. And they tried to kill him, you know. And I remember he had just gotten out of the hospital, you know, and he had just been recovering. And so we're talking about the situation that happened to him. And, of course, he wants to show me his little battle scars, right? So I remember I remember that. But you know, it was a trip, you know, to be 20-something years later and call him up. I call him up, and I say, hey, how you doing? And he says, man, I'm doing good. He's like, how are you doing? And right away, I'm like, man, I'm living blessed. You know, I surrender my life to God. I'm living a completely different life now. And he says, you know what, man, I heard. He says, you know, your brother shared some of the messages that you've shared with the church. And he says, you know, at first I didn't believe it. You know, he said, then I heard your voice. And I was like, man, what a trip. That's Marcus. And he says, you know what? It's amazing what God has done in your life. Right? He says, because I remember you. He said, you know what? You used to be bad. He said, it used to be real bad. And I laughed. You know, I laughed and we laughed and we finished our conversation. We had a really good conversation. You know, it's good to catch up with old friends, right? It's good to catch up with old friends. And but you know what? As soon as I hung up that phone, you know, I was tripping. You know, I'm like, what do you mean I was bad? You know? You know, and for some reason it really rubbed me the wrong way. You know, it didn't sit well with me. And for 3 weeks, I'm thinking about this. Like, what do you mean I was bad? Like, dude, we were from the same gang. You know, we hurt the same people. We stole from the same people. Like, how was I bad, right? But you know what? At that time, I was reading 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I remember reading it and where Paul is telling Timothy, he says, you know what? The only reason I'm in this ministry is because of the grace of God. He says, you know what? Because I used to be a blasphemer, an insolent man. He said, I used to be a persecutor. You know, but Christ came into the world to die for sinners of whom I am chief. Right? And when I read that, it hit me. I'm like, man, trip out on Paul. Right? Trip out on Paul. He's over here telling Timothy, you know what? I was this and I was that. You know, but Christ came into the world to die for sinners of whom I am chief. You see, he was telling Timothy, like, I was the worst of the worst. And here it is. I'm over here catching a complex because my friend's telling me the truth. Right? Because you know what? The truth is that I was bad. You know, I did a lot of things that I regret. I made a lot of poor choices growing up, you know? But the truth is, you know, the reality is, whether we like it or not, through the eyes of God, you know, we were all walking in the same shoes before we came to Christ. And it's only through the grace of God that we're all here today. And it's only through the love of God and the mercy of God, you know, that we can come together like this. That we can come together from all different walks of life and we can be strengthened and encouraged through the word of God. Amen? Amen. And so you know what? The more I thought about it, you know, I really had two takeaways from that situation. And the first was that, you know, when I called my friend up, I was on my high horse. You know, I was all full of myself. I was all puffed up. You know, I called him up, and I was ready to hear his sad story so I could tell him about what God is doing in me, how God is using me, right? Me, right? And when he hit me with the truth, you know, it's like he got that needle and just let all the hot air out of me, you know what I mean? and so you know what? So the point of that is that, you know what? We have to remember, and I've shared this with you guys before, but it's not about us. It's about God in us. Right? You know, the only reason I'm here today and not on the streets doing nonsense is because of God. You know? The only reason I'm up here on this stage is because God has given me the boldness. God has given me the courage. And God has given me a message to share with you guys. You know? And, you know, anybody who knows me, you know, I'm a fumbler and a mumbler of my words, you know, but God gives me the ability to come up here and speak truth. Right? And, you know, my second takeaway was that, you know, sometimes we need to remember our past. You know, sometimes we need to remember the places that we've been, you know, so we don't go back to those things, so we don't go back to those places, and we could be a testimony of the power of God, right? So we could be a testimony of the power of God, and we don't start to get to a place in our life where we start to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Amen? And, you know, like I said, it's amazing how God speaks to us, you know? And you know, God always wants to grow us. God always wants to speak to us, right? But it's, do we have the mind to hear, and do we have the heart to listen, right? So, you know, with that said, I'd like to get into the message this morning. And today I want to talk about the life of Peter. This morning I want to share some of the lessons that we can get through the life of Peter. And you know, as I was preparing for this, I was going through the Gospels, and the one that stood out to me the most was the Gospel of Matthew, right? So I'll be going over that, the book of Matthew this morning, and the life of Peter. And so, you know what, in the beginning, in chapter 4, you know, Jesus goes out and he starts his ministry by himself. You know, Jesus was alone and he went around preaching. He was telling the people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know, that message still rings true to this day, amen? And so it says that he was walking along the Sea of Galilee when he seen Peter and his brother. And Peter and his brother, they were fishermen. This is what they did for a living. This is how they fed themselves. And so Jesus walks up, and Jesus says, you know, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, right? And it says that immediately they put their nets down, and they followed him. And right away, I was tripping out on the obedience of Peter, right? I'm thinking, you know, Peter didn't ask any questions. He didn't say why. He didn't say where. He didn't say how long. It says that he put down his net, and he followed Jesus, right? And look at how God has used the life of Peter from biblical times to this very morning where we're still talking about the life of Peter, right? And God wants to use us in that same way. But it was through those first steps of obedience from Peter that God was able to use his life the way he has, right? And God calls us to a life of obedience, you know? God calls us to be obedient in our reading. God calls us to be obedient in our prayer life. And God calls us to be obedient when we get that nudging and the prompting by the Holy Spirit, right? And I'll be the first one to admit, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, I know it's not easy being obedient, you know? There's times when I'm out and about by myself or with my family, and I'll get that prompting. You know, pray for that person. Share with that person. You know, ask that person if they need prayer. And I'm like, man, Lord, I'm trying to have a cheeseburger here. You know what I mean? Like you know, but it keeps coming. Pray for him. I'm like, man, Lord, this guy got a suit and tie. What do I got to share with this guy? Pray for him. Ask him. Talk to him. And God calls us to a life of obedience. There's times when I'm out driving around and I get that prompting. Pull over and pray for that person. Speak to that person. Share with that person. And I'm like, man, Lord, this guy, he's going through the trash. This guy looks like he's homeless. He probably stinks, Lord. You want me to get close to him, Lord? You want me to put hands on him and pray for him, Lord? Right? But God calls us to a life of obedience. We're to be obedient in those situations. And it's through that obedience that God does things that we would never believe. But God calls us to step out in obedience. Right? And so you know what? From chapter 4 to chapter 14, you know, here we go. Jesus kicks off his ministry strong. Right, he's going around. He's opening the eyes to the blind. He's healing people of skin disease. Right, he's giving, you know, people can't hear; they're able to hear. You know, he's raising people from the dead, you know, and he's preaching and he's teaching. And the disciples, the number of disciples begins to grow, right? And so Peter, he continues to follow Jesus. And we get to chapter 14 where the feeding of the 5,000, right? We get to the feeding of the 5,000. And, you know, they got 5,000 people and they got no food. So they got like 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, right? And Jesus prays over the food and they're able to feed everybody. And the disciples are watching this. They're seeing this. And it says that immediately after the feeding of the 5,000, that Jesus came to the disciples. He came to the disciples and says, look, get in the boat, go across the sea, meet me on the other side. I'll meet you guys on the other side. So the disciples, they listen to him. They get in the boat, and they're on their way. And it says that during the fourth watch, about 4 o'clock in the morning, they see Jesus walking on the water, right? They see Jesus walking on the water, and it says that immediately they thought it was a ghost, and fear overcame them. And Jesus says, fear not, for it is I, right? And Peter steps up. Peter speaks up and says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come. And so Jesus says, come. And it says that Peter, he stepped out, and he began to walk, right? And I was thinking, I wonder what was going through Peter's mind. Right? I wonder what he was thinking. Here he is. He sees Jesus open the eyes to the blind. He sees Jesus bringing people back from the dead. He sees Jesus 4 o'clock in the morning walking on the water, right? I'm thinking, you know what? He must have been mesmerized. He must have been transfixed, zoned in on Jesus, right? And he got out and he began to walk on water. But then it says that he looked and he seen that the waves were crashing. The wind was raging. You know, it says he began to sink. And isn't that so true? You know, isn't that so true for us? You know what? When we're prayed up and we're in the Word, we're strong. We have perseverance. We have strength. We can keep going. But as soon as we take our eyes off of God, as soon as we start to look at our circumstances, as soon as we start to look at the situations around us and our finances and the broken relationships and the illnesses in our life, you know, we begin to sink. You know, we become overwhelmed with depression. We become overwhelmed with anger. We become overwhelmed with hurt, anxiety, all these things. We become overwhelmed in the storms. And Jesus don't call us to that. Jesus calls us to another life, you know. And Peter, he stepped out, right? When Peter stepped out, he stepped out and he's walking on water. He's doing the impossible, you know. But it wasn't until he took his eyes off of God that he began to sink. Right? And then so he sinks and he cries out to God. He says, Lord, save me. And Jesus outstretches his hand and Jesus saves him. Right? And you know, I was tripping out that, you know, Jesus didn't come to them when they were 50 yards from the shore. You know, Jesus didn't come to them when they were almost to the other side. You know, Jesus came to them when they were in the middle of the sea, when they were in the middle of the storm, where there was nobody that could save them. You know, they couldn't swim back to shore. They couldn't call for a lifeguard. You know, they couldn't do anything. The only one that could save them was Jesus. And that's the same thing for us. You know, the only one that can save us from our messed up lives, the storms in our lives, the sickness, the depression, the broken relationships, the our children, all the things that we go through, the only one that can save us is Jesus, right? And you know what? Jesus didn't take him through the storm for no reason. Jesus didn't have the disciples in the middle of the sea walking on water for no reason. You know, God was building their trust. God wanted to build their faith because God was preparing them for the ministry that he was about to set before them. And that's the same thing for us. You know, we're not going through a struggle. We're not going through the storms for no reason. You know, God has a plan and a purpose. He wants to build us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to mold us and shape us into the men and women that he calls us to be, right? But God calls us to a life of obedience. God calls us to keep our eyes on Jesus, right? He wants us to put our trust. He wants us to surrender our whole heart before him. Have faith is what Jesus is saying, right? And you know what? We're going to go through storms. You know, we're going to go through struggles. We're going to go through all this nonsense in our life. But the difference is, you know, when we go through the storms on our own, when we go through the storms and we go through the storms in our own strength, in our own abilities, you know, we come out all beat up. We may come out and we'll go through another storm, but we come out beat up. You know, when we go through those storms with Jesus, when we keep our trust and our faith in God during those storms, you know, we come out stronger. And I don't know about you, I don't like getting bruised up. You know, I like to be stronger, you know what I mean? So here it is, you know, chapter 14, you know, Jesus brings them through the storm. And we get to chapter 16, and Jesus is still teaching. He's preaching. He's going around preaching, teaching, healing. And we get to a place in chapter 16 where Jesus gets the disciples together, and he asked them an easy question. He asked them an easy question. He says, "Who does man say that I am?" And right away, hey, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. You know, some say Jeremiah. Everybody's quick to throw these names out there, what people say about him. But then he asks him a hard question, right? He says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And it's quiet. Nobody speaks up. The only one that spoke up was Peter. Peter says, "For you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus blesses Peter. Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven," right? And I don't know about you guys, but I was thinking, man, I wonder what it would have been like to be in Peter's shoes. You know what I mean? Blessed are you, Marcus. You know what I mean? My hair would probably be like that big. I wouldn't be able to come into the church. You know, but it's a trip, though. It's a trip because, you know what? Because in the very same chapter, Jesus rebukes Peter, right? And in the couple paragraphs down, Jesus rebukes Peter. You know, he begins to tell the disciples the things that were to come. He's telling the disciples, "Look, I got to go to Jerusalem. I got to suffer many things. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die." And of course, Peter pulls him aside and says, "Lord, far be it from you, Lord, that this should happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men," right? You know, and at first it's easy to knock Peter and be like, "Man, Peter, what were you thinking?" You know, but you know what? Aren't we that same way? Aren't we that same way? You know, sometimes we may get an illness. Sometimes we may we may have a loss in the family. And we say, "Far be it from me, Lord, that I should go through this right now, that I should struggle right now, Lord. Far be it from me, Lord, that my family has to suffer right now, Lord." And God says, "Man, you don't know what I'm doing." And we say, "No, Lord, I need money right now, Lord. I don't got no money to pay my bills, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Take care of my financial issues, Lord. Far be it from me, Lord, that I go through these financial struggles, these financial difficulties." And God says, "You don't know what I'm doing. You don't understand. I'm trying to use you. The kids are watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. I'm trying to use you to touch the lives of the people around you. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't understand." And we say, "No, Lord, far be it from me, Lord, that I go through this in my relationship right now, Lord. Lord, if you could only heal my relationship, if you could only fix him, Lord, if you could only fix her, Lord, things will be okay." And God says, "No, you don't understand what I'm doing right now. Be faithful. Put your trust in me. Put your faith in me. I got this. Just be faithful." You know, and so God calls us to put our faith and our trust in him. We can't see the big picture. Just like with Peter, right? Peter's saying, you know, Jesus, tell him I'm going to go to the cross and die. And Peter's like, "Far be it from you, Lord." And Jesus says, "Man, Peter, you don't understand. You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. I got my eyes on a bigger picture. I'm going to the cross. I'm about to go suffer and die for humanity." You know, sometimes we can't see past our own nose, but God calls us to be obedient and be faithful. Amen? And so from 16, right, from 16 we get to chapter 26. Jesus is speaking. He's doing the parables. He's continuing to preach and teach. And we get to 26 where Jesus continues to tell the disciples. You know, he continues to tell the disciples the things that were to come. And he tells them, you know what? After the Passover, he tells the disciples, he says, "Look," he's like, "this night, all of you will be made to stumble." And of course, Peter says, "They may all be made to stumble, Lord, but I never will." And Peter says, I mean, Jesus says, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter says, "Lord, even if I have to die, I will not deny you." Right? And I could just imagine what Jesus was thinking. He was looking at Peter like, Man, Peter, you just don't know when to be quiet, man. I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, and you know what? I remember this part of the story very clearly. Very clearly, I had just surrendered my life. I had just surrendered my life to God. I was walking with God for 2 weeks. And I remember I was reading the Gospel of Matthew. And I get to this part. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's the old gang mentality, the old prison mentality. But I was pumped up. I'm reading it. And I start getting into it. I'm like, man, look at Peter. Right? Like, man, they're in the middle of the storm. Jesus says, come on, Peter. And Peter's like, let's go. Right? And then Jesus telling the disciples, man, I got to go to the cross. I got to die. Peter's like, man, far be it from you, Lord. I got you. Like, this ain't happening. You know, he says, all of you guys will be made to stumble. And Peter's like, Lord, they may all be made to stumble, but I never will, right? And then we get to the betrayal. And Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. And who's right there with the sword? Peter. He takes the soldier's ear off, right? And I'm like, man, that's the kind of guy, if I was still in the street, that's the kind of guy I want on my team. That's the kind of guy I want on my side, right? And so I'm tripping out. I'm like, man. I trip out on Peter, right? And so I'm like, man, it's all coming to life before me. And I'm reading it. I remember I was on my way to work. I started reading before I would get to work. So I'm reading it. And then we get to the soldiers, they take Jesus. They take Jesus, and it says that Peter began to follow at a distance, right? You know, Peter began to follow at a distance. And I'm like, all right. And we get there, and they get into town. And a servant girl sees Peter. And she says, hey, aren't you one of the follower of Jesus? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about, right? And then another girl sees him. Another girl sees him and says, surely you're one of the disciples of Jesus. And he swears with an oath, I do not know the man. And then we get, you know, they're right there around the fire warming up. And there's a couple of people. And they're looking at him and they're talking. And they're like, man, surely this is one of the followers of Christ. And he's like, he loses it. Peter loses it. He begins to swear. He begins to curse. And before the words come out of his mouth, the rooster crows. And he says, I do not know the man. And he denies Jesus. And I remember I was reading. I was like, what? Are you serious, Peter? All that talk? All that big talk? I got your back. They may all be made to stumble, but I never will. You know, all this stuff you were talking, like, are you serious? You going to leave Jesus hanging? Like, man. And I remember I was like on my way to work. I closed it. I'm like, dude, like, you know what? You know, in the prison life and the gang life, they call that punking. Now I'm like, man, Peter, you just punked out big time, you know? I'm like, dang. And I went to work angry. I kept thinking about it. I'm like, man, I was disappointed in Peter. Like, yeah, how do you leave your right hand man hang? You know, how do you leave your homie hang like that? Like, come on. And you know what? You know what's funny is that at this time in my life, you know, me and my wife, we had been moving. You know, I had just got out of prison, and the first place that we were at, we had to move. They didn't want me. They didn't want us there, so we moved. And then we moved again. And then we moved again. And then we get into a house, and now we have to move again. And I'm like, man. And I had just surrendered my life. I'm 2 weeks in, and I said, you know what? I told my wife, you know what, let's do this. We got to move, let's go. I didn't want to move, but I'm like, let's move. And I had peace with it. I said, you know what, God said, wherever God leads us, let's go. And I remember it was on a Friday, my wife calls me, and we were about to go actually go check out our house. And my wife calls me, she says, babe, we got another option. I'm like, what's up, what is it? She's like, you know, somebody said that if we wanted to stay in our home, that they would buy the house for us. And we could work it out, and we could stay where. And I'm like, what? I'm like, are you serious? She's like, yeah. She's like, they're willing to buy the house, and we could stay where we're at. And he said that we'll work it out. And I was like, man. And I'm tripping out. I'm like, man, what a miracle of God, right? I said, yeah, let's do it, right? So we stay in our house, and we've been in the house, and I was so excited. I was so excited. I was so happy because I'm like, look at a miracle of God that God has done in my life. And I began to call my family up, and I'm sharing with all my family. I said, man, look at what God has done. Here it is. I just surrendered my life to God, and God had blessed us with this home, right? And I'm like, anybody that listened to me and my family, like, hey, check it out what God is doing. It's a miracle of God. All right, I get to church, and at that time, I wasn't as talkative as I am now. So So there was only a couple of people that I spoke to, Tim Wilson and Jesse Galvan, and a couple of people in the church. I shared with them. I said, man, look at this miracle of God that God has done, right? And so here it goes. Monday, I go to work. And Monday, you know, the people at work, they some of the guys that at work, that they knew my situation. They knew that I was going to be moving. They knew that, you know, I was looking for a place. And so first thing in the morning, someone comes up to me. Hey, man, what happened with that move? Did you guys check out that house you're going to look at? I tell him, nah, man. I said, you know what? Somebody bought that house and we're able to stay there. And he's all right, right on, cool, man. And he walks away and I'm like, and it was right on the tip of my tongue, but it was only through the hand of God. But it didn't come out, you know? And the bell rings and we're getting back to lunch. It's time to go back to lunch. I mean, go back to work. And somebody else, hey, man, whatever happened with that move? Are you guys, you know, did that go through or, you know, what's going on? I said, nah, man, you know what? Somebody bought the house. We're able to stay there, you know? And once again, he's like, all right, cool. They don't care. They're walking. He's like, I'm gone. You know, he's going to work. And I'm like, man, I should go tell him. It was only through the hand of God. And I didn't. And you know what? Believe it or not, I'm walking to my car at the end of my day. I'm walking to my car. Someone comes up alongside me. Hey, whatever happened with that move? And I said, you know what, man? I'm able to stay there, you know. And he's like, oh, that's cool. He gets in his car. And as I'm driving home, deep, deep conviction comes over me. I said, man, look at that. I just denied Jesus three times. I just denied God three times in my own life. Everything that I said about Peter, all that anger, all that disappointment, all that punking out, like, man, I punked out big time. You know what I mean? And I remember being so convicted, and I went the next day, and I told everybody. I said, you know what, man? I said, you know, it was only through the hands of God. It was only through the power of God that we were in now. And they're like, all right, like, whatever, you know? But I was, like, convicted. I was beat up. I was hurting inside. I was like, man, everything I said about Peter, right? But you know what? The thing was that, you know what, the point of it is that it really made me think of us today, right? In what ways today are we denying Christ, you know? In what ways today are we denying Christ? Is it in the things that we're watching? Is it in the conversations that we're having, right? Is it what we're meditating on? You know, maybe it's not trusting God in our tithing and we're not giving back to God the things that are God and we're denying Christ in that area. You know, I don't know what it may be for you guys today, but it's something for us to be mindful of. You know, let's be mindful of that. In what ways are we denying Christ? And, you know, I also want to encourage you guys, you know, God calls us to a life of obedience. Let's be obedient in our prayer life. Let's be obedient in our reading. And let's be obedient when we get that prompting brought on by the Spirit. You know? And also, you guys, God is trying to build us. God is kind of trying to strengthen us through the storms. I don't know what you guys are going through this morning. You know, we all got our own issues. But God wants to do something in that. God has a plan and a purpose over that. You know? He wants us to surrender our whole hearts before Him. He wants us to put all our trust and all our faith inside of Him. Because He has a plan and He wants to do something amazing in our lives. But not just our lives, the people around us. The lives of the people that God has brought to us for us to love on. Like that said, that light, right? We can reach out to the people around us through the power of God in us. The love of God in us. And so, you know what? I just wanted to leave you guys with that this morning. Hopefully you guys can think about that during the week. You know what I mean? Just and be encouraged, you know, that the storms are not, they're not for no reason. You know, God is trying to do something in us. Amen? And, you know, before I step down, I just want to let you guys know, you know, we're doing the Love Like That series. And this week, as we get into our small groups, we're going to be talking about being approachable. You know, are we approachable? You know, and it's something for you guys to be thinking about, you know, as you guys get into your small groups this week. You know, in what ways are we approachable? In what ways are we not approachable? Try to identify those, and as you guys get in your small groups, you know, come together and share about that. All right. Thank you guys for your time. God bless you guys.